Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
I'm John Batchelor with Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to be speaking with Seth Frantzman, Jerusalem Post senior correspondent on the Gaza War. We've mentioned the Houthis salvoing against the U.S. Navy. What is to be done? And then there's that element in the north of Israel. The border, I understand, has been evacuated up to 4 kilometers, looking for or fearing a Hezbollah rocket attack, missile attack, or an incursion across the line. So far, Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, has made ambiguous statements that have not led to launching attacks of significance during the ceasefire now ended. Hezbollah was recorded as making no significant attacks. Seth, is there an opinion of why Hezbollah so far is standing down and what the future might bring? Thank you.
Well, Hezbollah has a lot of forces. It wants most of them to remain intact so that it can remain as a kind of, you know, a threat against Israel, that Iran can key that threat in whenever it wants. So it's preferable from Iran's perspective to just keep the threat there right next to the border and not operationalize it until you really want to use it, because I don't think Iran has a multiple shots in this case. You can't fire Hezbollah into Israel and then pull it back and say, well, it'll be intact after this, because, you know, Israel will go to a real war against Hezbollah and they'll suffer serious losses. Hezbollah is a very dangerous, vicious organization with plenty of soldiers, but it doesn't have an endless number of fighters. It can't recruit a lot more of them than it has. If it suffers significant losses, it can't replace them. And Hezbollah is also too big for its britches now. It has a lot of stuff to destroy, and Israel has a lot of ordnance to destroy it. Hezbollah is not an organization that can kind of just disappear into the jungle. It has things to be taken down. So I think Hezbollah is playing its cards very close to its chest. It's doing a lot of proportional attacks. Israel has a weird, you know, like mutually assured destruction up there, where it's like, you do an attack like this, we do this. I think Israel has said that it's killed and injured more than 100 of them, Hezbollah members. And I think Israel has lost at least 10 casualties and then a bunch of injured in Israel. So it's not what Israel would prefer. It's not the way Israel waged war historically, allowing things like that to happen. But I think Israel's, you know, leadership has decided that it has to concentrate on Gaza and it can't do a major knockout preemptive strike up there yet.
Bill, you have a question for Seth.
Yes, Seth. You had mentioned Hezbollah and its influence in Lebanon. It is ingrained in society and it is clearly one of Iran's premier proxies, although I do think others are starting to rise in Iraq and in Yemen. Is Iran willing to risk the survival of Hezbollah and its influence in Lebanon to fully go to war with Israel in support of Gaza? Or is it playing a clever game of, as you had noted, the, you know, escalating tensions just enough to keep the Israelis engaged?
Well, I think Iran has to ask itself, and that's the key question here, is whether or not Iran will tolerate the total defeat and evisceration and destruction of its Hamas proxy in Gaza and lose that that property, basically. I mean, think of it like a monopoly board. Iran doesn't want to lose a very important property that it's invested a lot in. So if it looks like Hamas is really on its last legs there, and if Iran doesn't think it can eke out a win in the West Bank by having Hamas somehow pop up in the West Bank and in response somehow, will it then decide that it has to send Hezbollah in? And will, you know, obviously Nasrallah has his own views. I mean, he's a key actor. Iran has lost a lot of its key people in the last decades. I mean, Imad Munia and Qasem Soleimani and other actors, or Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas in Iraq. You know, Hassan Nasrallah is a very important man in the Iranian orbit. So, you know, Nasrallah can also say what he thinks. And that's why maybe we're seeing the attacks in Iraq and Syria and the Houthis being operationalized, because they can kind of carry some of the weight for which 20 years ago, they didn't really exist as much. And it would be all on Hezbollah. So We have to see. Iran's a very smart actor, and it's playing a very complex, deadly game of chess here. And, you know, I think we'll have to wait and see. It's not clear.
Seth, when we last spoke with you, you mentioned the West Bank was a threat, and Hamas could be moving into the West Bank and now that Gaza City has been destroyed. Within hours, there was a report of an attack by two Hamas operatives out of the West Bank driving into Jerusalem. You know the geography better than I do. Getting out of their cars, there was video, and opening fire with handguns. I believe two or three were killed. Many were injured. Is this evidence of Hamas establishing a fire post in West Bank already? And what are they going to do about the PA?
I was down the street when the terrorist attack happened. I was just around the corner. And it was a serious event. I mean, the guys got out of their cars. They were both brothers. They were known Hamas operatives from an area in East Jerusalem named Sur Bachar, which is not so far from where I am, actually. So one of them had a rifle, an M4, M16 style rifle. One had a handgun. And that's not a good sign because these guys had been released from prison. They should have been monitored. How did the guy get a rifle in Jerusalem, you know, under the eyes of the police? Not, I think, which is not a good sign. So, but again, these guys were Hamas activists. So it's not like they joined up and then did something. I mean, they did a very serious attack. It's not a good sign for Jerusalem. But again, Jerusalem's not the West Bank. There are some differences between the way Israel controls East Jerusalem and the way it deals with the West Bank. So I think we have to see if it becomes a trend. So far, we're not seeing a lot of Hamas attacks, but that's because Israel has preemptively arrested thousands of people in the West Bank. I mean, it's not a small number. Israel has arrested a lot of people, including many Hamas members. So that was one thing that Israel did after October 7th to basically say, listen, we're not going to allow this to heat up over here while we're doing this. So far, we're not seeing a lot of Hamas attacks in the West Bank. Israel's trying to be really, really preemptive against all this. The way Israel, by the way, is not doing in places like Hezbollah land or the Houthis and stuff, where Israel's kind of waiting to see what happens next.
Bill, just a last question here. The mention of Iran in the CENTCOM press release, is that the first time you've seen Iran's name during the Gaza war?
No, the CENTCOM has identified Iran in previous attacks.
Okay.
As being associated. So this isn't anything new, but it is going up against, as Seth had astutely noted, CENTCOM does tend to be an outlier here. It does tend to, be a little bit more forward-leaning on identifying the nature of the threats coming from the region.
Seth Frantzman, Bill Raggio, I'm John Mesh.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,